It's Marketplace Tech for Monday the 3rd. I'm Adrienne Hill in for Ben Johnson. Virtual reality means big change for the art world, from how and where we experience art to how it's made. Take movies, for example. Studios are experimenting with VR, trying to understand how today's tech and future virtual reality might change the way they tell stories and the types of stories they tell. For more, we have Ted Shilowitz. He's the futurist for 20th Century Fox. And yes, a movie studio has a futurist. I caught up with him on the convention floor at CinemaCon last week and asked him what it'll be like to go to movies in the future.
A big part of my thesis and thought process is around something I call spatial entertainment. There's an interesting sort of separation between just immersive experiences and spatial experiences, where your physical body is actually transported, or you believe it's being transported to another place. And it's somewhat akin to what happens when you go to a theme park and get on the most modern ride experience. So when it comes to virtual reality and augmented reality, you're starting to take that type of simulation and break it out of a physical location that costs hundreds of millions of dollars to put in and allow it something that can be mobile or live inside a home.
What does the movie turn into in this future? A little bit of a choose-your-own-adventure space?
The choose-your-own-adventure analogy tends to get misinterpreted and misunderstood, because what creators are trying to do is actually trying to guide the story without you realizing that you're being guided. You don't realize how you're being manipulated and motivated, and you actually think it's of your own volition, but really crafty creation is guiding you down a pathway to reach the end goal.
So we'd all have exactly the same end?
Not necessarily.
Or a similar end?
Yeah, I mean, you know, some may not get to the end, right? Or the end for you might be actually different than somebody else. What I've seen more often than not is the most successful things feel like things are branching when actually they're leading you down a garden path.
I want to ask about another sort of, in some VR demos I've done, the most successful have actually, because there's no mobility yet, there's not a lot of mobility. And again, this is early VR, I know, but like sitting and watching. And in some ways, you can see how the VR experience could replicate the movie-going experience very quickly and put all of these people out of business. Does VR pose a risk to the movie theater industry?
The movie industry itself has always found a way to survive and thrive. This is no different. People like to gather in physical spaces, but we think it enhances people's choices when they go into a public space to do different kinds of entertainment on their way to the main attraction. As long as theater owners and content creators think about all the technology and where it all can fit together into an ecosystem, those are the ones that will not only succeed, but they'll thrive.
Ted, thanks so much.
Yeah, my pleasure. Happy to do it.
Museums around the world are also experimenting with virtual reality. Some are creating VR exhibits inside museums. Others have VR tours of their exhibits that you can take anywhere. The New Museum in New York City has taken the tech a step further, encouraging artists to create art with virtual reality as their medium. The exhibit, which is actually an app, is called First Look, Artists VR. Zachary Kaplan is executive director of Rhizome, an Internet Art and Culture Association affiliated with the New Museum. He helped organize the exhibit. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Is there a work in the exhibit that you can talk me through, that you can describe to me?
Yeah, one of my favorite pieces in the exhibition is a work by the artist Jacoby Satterwhite. So his piece is this kind of fly-through of a queer industrial nightclub where you kind of move through this space that is both fantastical, kind of full of really bold colors and kind of otherworldly figures, with kind of his form as a performer dancing, moving in a really kind of fascinating way.
How do you think about accessibility for this work? Because not everyone has a headset at home or a way to sort of access this.
Yeah, accessibility was key from the outset. So virtual reality isn't a thing, but rather it's a spectrum of experiences. And those experiences run the gamut from your phone with a VR app in a Google Cardboard headset to Oculus Rift. So for us, we kind of started with a mobile app because we felt that it was most important to deliver this work to as broad an audience as possible.
What opportunities does virtual reality offer artists as a medium?
Immersion is the kind of buzzword for VR often, and it's this kind of opportunity to get the full kind of 360-degree attention of a viewer in a very unique way. It's just a possibility for artists in a new way. The artists that we worked with all created digital animations. You're just adding kind of a new landscape for what you're creating that you had already been working on in the past.
One thing that was interesting you just said is it becomes part of the museum experience. And I wonder what it means or signifies that there's an exhibit that you all have that you actually can't experience at the museum.
Yeah, I mean, I think there has been a really interesting history of art with a museum kind of level of attention beyond the museum walls. Rhizome itself as an organization was founded on the internet to present art there and to celebrate kind of art that takes place on the internet. Virtual reality, hopefully, is just another kind of tool in the kind of toolbox.
Zachary Kaplan, thank you so much.
Thank you. It's my pleasure.
And that music you're hearing, that's from one of the new museum VR pieces. If you want to check it out, we've tweeted a link to the app. We're on Twitter at Marketplace Tech. I'm Adrian Hill, and that's our show today. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.